Blue, and welcome back to another installment of Mr. Jeffreyon's World History Podcast. This week we're on episode 22, and we will be discussing transoceanic encounters and global connections. Some key themes to keep in mind while listening to today's podcast would be the European reconnaissance of the world's oceans, trade and conflict in early modern Asia, and global exchanges throughout the world. If you have any questions, remember you can always contact the hotline 321-804-APWH, and the other way to submit any questions to the podcast would be mrjeffreyon@gmail.com. While interactions between different societies have always been a part of the human experience, the nature and scale of these relationships increased dramatically after 1500. Western European nations, armed with advanced technologies and powerful weapons, began the slow process of imposing their will on the rest of the world. European expansion resulted not only in increasing political hegemony, but also in the creation of transportation, communication, and trading networks. Plants, animals, technologies, and diseases followed the same routes. By the 19th century, the result would be a profound shift in the global balance of power, with the Western Europeans ruling most of the world. After the 14th century, European explorers became quite obsessed with exploring the globe as a means to benefit themselves. Although the journeys were very expensive and usually very dangerous, the rewards were tremendous and generous. Although the European explorers were driven by many factors, the most powerful of them were the quest for resources and land, the search for new trade routes to Asia, and the missionary goal of expanding Christianity. Europeans looked into sea trade as a way to access the Asian trading markets and not have to worry about potential dangers such as what they would find on the Silk Road. Also, the work of missionaries drove Europeans to explore as a motive that tended to appear, at least, to be pure. Advances in nautical technology and navigational skills also played a role in this expansion. The adoption of square as well as lateen sails and the use of the magnetic compass and astrolabe made European ships much more formidable, while the discovery and spread of information about wind wheels made sailing much more efficient. The Portuguese, a people desperate for land and resources, led the initial exploration under the capable leadership of Prince Henry the Navigator. He wasn't actually a navigator, he just started a school for navigation. Portuguese maritime leadership continued when Bartolomeu Dias rounded the Cape of Good Hope in 1488, and Vasco da Gama reached India in 1498. Following in Portugal's footsteps, Spain entered the competition when Fernando and Isabel bankrolled a plan by Christopher Columbus for reaching India by a western route. Even though Columbus never actually reached India, he did land in San Salvador in 1492. Soon, English, French, and Dutch competitors followed quickly. Ironically, most of the early exploration of the Americas was designed to find a way around the troublesome landmass and on to the rich markets of Asia. Wherever there is trade, there is competition, and where one finds competition, there is always the potential for conflict. Europeans tended to try and control trade in whatever region they were in. In most of the Eastern Hemisphere, they lacked the personnel or military might to make this dream a reality. The Portuguese, once again, were the first to put this idea into action, establishing the stop to use them. As time went on, the Portuguese tried to become more strict with these demands, but eventually lost their control to the English and the Dutch due to having an incredibly small population. Unlike the Portuguese, the English and Dutch's success was mostly due to the construction of to modern corporations, they were in reality much more powerful. Included in their charters was the right to declare and fight wars to benefit the company. While the Dutch concerned themselves less with controlling the population than in controlling the spice market, English was bent on being the most powerful leader in the world. Colonial and mercantile competition at times resulted in open warfare. The British victory in the Seven Years' War left England as the world's leading power. Increasing trade led to more interaction between societies than the world had ever seen. This interchange would include plants, food, crops, animals, human populations, and diseases. The growing contact between the Eastern and Western hemispheres, sometimes called the Columbian Exchange, changed the human geography and natural environment of the world. The spread of disease, most notably smallpox, from the Eastern to the Western hemisphere, shows that not every element of this exchange was beneficial. During the 16th century, up to 95% of the native population of Mesoamerica and South America died from diseases brought over by the Spaniards. It has been estimated that as many as 100 million people in the Americas and Pacific Islands may have died from disease in the three centuries after 1500. Nevertheless, in the long run, the Columbian Exchange increased the world's population because of the introduction of new crops and animals. During that same 300-year period, the world's population grew from 425 million to over 900 million. The result was the creation of a truly global trading market. This concludes episode 22. Special thanks to Tanner for putting this podcast together. Tune in next time for episode 23 as we will be discussing the transformation of Europe. Until next time, this has been Mr. Jeffrey Ons World History Podcast.